This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Woo! 1 hour remaining in my only show of the week, but that's not why I'm giving you a woo! I am fired up about the football that we saw on Sunday in the NFL. It's definitely going to be a six-week blitz to the finish line. And so we'll look at the standings here in a second. But, man, any given Sunday applies so well to the NFL. They want parity. They dig parity. Of course, they're always trying to level the playing field in whatever way they possibly can. But the way that this season shapes up, because there isn't a massive home field advantage, because the playoffs will be expanded to the point where there, at the very least, is only one bye. We may see the NFL expand the playoffs further. That depends on if they can get the regular season in the way that it's scheduled. If not, if they have to postpone, they could end up stretching out the playoff bracket and adding yet another team to each conference. But we don't know whether or not that will happen. So for now, we're looking at 14 teams vying for playoff spots or that will ultimately be in the playoffs, and a lot of teams that are going to be duking it out over the course of these next 6 weeks. So it's going to be phenomenal, starting with Thanksgiving. Believe it or not, we're just days away from, well, my favorite holiday of the year, but also days away from the start of week 12. We haven't even finished week 11 yet. We still have Rams and Buccaneers coming up on Monday Night Football, and then we turn around, and 72 hours later, there we are in the throes of Week 12 with a triple header on Thanksgiving Day. I hope that you had a great weekend, lots of preparation. I'm spending Thanksgiving with my best friend and her family, and I asked her, should I bring any food? Do you want me to go shopping, bring some stuff over? She said, no, I'm doing all the shopping. You just show up. So I think a lot of people were probably doing their Thanksgiving shopping and their food prep over the weekend. I hope that you're looking forward to, whether it's family or friends, whether we're talking about some football, whether it's solely food, whether you are going to be in your normal routine or you're going to be completely out of your normal routine, wherever your Thanksgiving takes you. I did hear that there are plenty of people traveling. We're talking about millions and millions of people who will be flying and then millions more who will be on the road. So whether it's fatigue from the virus, whether it's just the fact that so many of us have felt the strain, the stress of being separated from loved ones this season. Safety, that's obviously paramount, but I also think for mental health, it's really important to spend time with the people that we care about safely. And so I'm looking forward to it, and I hope that you will have friends, family, food, fun, and potentially some football if that floats your boat. It certainly floated my boat on Sunday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Man, we got a ton of news coming from the quarterback position as always, but let's start looking at the standings. The Steelers moved to 10-0, and the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football moved to 9-1. So right now, one blemish on the Chiefs record, and they had a chance to avenge that a few hours ago, which they did. So we'll circle back to that game. But Steelers and Chiefs have separated themselves, not just in the AFC, but in the NFL. Best two teams, best two records. They've shown they can beat you a variety of ways. And as we're talking about MVP candidates after week 11. I know they don't hand out the award in week 11, but as we're talking about it, more and more of you are pointing to Ben Roethlisberger alongside a Patrick Mahomes or alongside an Aaron Rodgers. Here's the rest of the AFC. It's crazy. I hope that didn't wake you up on a Monday morning. If it did, though, that's not a bad way to wake up. The rest of the AFC has four teams that are 7-3. The idle Bills, the Colts and the Titans on top of the AFC South, and the Browns in second place in the AFC North. How about that? Ravens take a couple steps back with back-to-back losses, and the Browns step in there with an opportunistic defense, and they're taking advantage of their schedule. Oh, and the weather. So you've got four teams at 7-3, and then you've got three more teams at 6-4. At this point, the playoff teams will come from that group. And of course, there will be teams on the outside looking in. Now, things can change. There's 6 weeks to go. But producer Dave and I were talking about this. We love the fact that there's an extra team added because it makes these races that much more compelling. The wild card races that much more compelling. I still don't like the idea of only one team in each conference having a bye. To me, it feels like a huge advantage, but that's what you play for in the regular season. So the Dolphins slip back a notch. The Ravens slip back a notch. The Raiders do the same thing. Otherwise, you've got the Chiefs, the Steelers, the Browns, the Colts, the Titans, all strengthening their positions. The Bills standing pat. In the NFC, the Saints without Drew Brees. Taysom Hill getting his first start. We'll let you hear from Taysom coming up. He actually was pretty nervous. You could tell when the game started. And yet Sean Payton had great confidence in him. Chose him over Jameis Winston because of his body of work with New Orleans since they picked him up. Remember, he was undrafted out of BYU. This is not a young guy. He's 30 years old. And he's been with the team for several years, learning behind Drew Brees. And once he shook off those nerves and settled into the quarterback position, he played well. The Saints defense was fantastic. We've seen that now three games in a row from the New Orleans D. So Saints are at 8-2. Best record, 7-game win streak, and best record in the NFC. The Buccaneers, who play tonight, the Seahawks, the Packers, all at 7-3. Although, again, the Bucs could match the Saints for wins tonight. And then, of course, the Bucs still have to take their bye. We're getting to the end of bye weeks. After that, the Rams also play tonight. They could get their 7th win. The Cardinals are 6-4. The Bears are 5-5. The Vikings, they were playing so well, they were steamrolling, but they lost to the Cowboys on Sunday, so they took a major step back. Right now, in the NFC, you have 6 teams above 500. That's it. 6 teams above 500. So let's just say, for the sake of argument, those 6 teams all go to the playoffs, and I don't know that it will work that way. But we're talking Cardinals, Rams, Seahawks in the West, Saints and Buccaneers in the South, only the Packers in the North, and none of the East, of course. But they all do have 3 wins. Forgive me for laughing. I can't help it. It's hysterical that they all have 3 wins. At least it's competitive in that division. If it's going to be a really bad division, at least we have no idea who's going to win it. Anyway, you only have 6 teams with winning records at this point. The Bears, as bad as it's been, and they've got a bye this week, they're still looking at their QB options, they still have an opportunity. So do the Vikings. I wouldn't count out the 49ers either, though obviously 4 teams from one division is a long shot, but it's possible. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We got a Sunday night showdown in the AFC West, and man, do I love these division rivalries. After halftime, the tenor of this game really changed. The pace really picked up. And the reason it picked up is because you had one team possessing the ball for 8.5 minutes, 6 minutes. I mean, it was such a weird game. Because it turned into a shootout with 5 lead changes in the second half. And yet, to start the third quarter, you had the Chiefs control the ball for 8.5 minutes and 16 plays. They went 93 yards. It was moving. Las Vegas, able to counter with their own 11-play scoring drive after that. Kansas City starts the fourth quarter with a 91-yard drive. And then Vegas answers with 75 yards and a march of its own. So it was really incredible, the back and forth. Ultimately, you had Patrick Mahomes with the football having to go 75 yards in the final 2 minutes. Except this is right in his freaking wheelhouse.
Robinson, Hardman to the right along with Kelce. Darrell Williams, the lone setback. Raiders rush four. Mahomes retreats. Steps up into the pocket. He throws it late for the end zone. Kelce wide open. Touchdown, Kansas City. Why not? Mahomes to Kelce again to take the lead on a 22-yard touchdown pass with 28 seconds to go in regulation.
He did it again. They did it again. Mitch Holtis with the call on the Chiefs radio network. Travis Kelce, one of our candidates for Monday MVP. 8 catches, 127 yards. And what I love about the offense with the Chiefs, it's not just Patrick Mahomes, let's be honest. Yes, he's the driving force, and he's the one that you can't take your eyes off of. But the comfort factor with his receivers, with Travis Kelce, who knows exactly where to go when Mahomes is in trouble. When Mahomes is scrambling, eyes up, he's looking for someone to get open. Kelce has the footwork of a receiver. He's athletic. And what does he do? He finds an open space. Always. He goes where the defense isn't. And so how many times in this game was Mahomes able to find Kelce when they had to move the chains or when he was under duress? And on that touchdown, with 28 seconds to go, Kelce couldn't have been more wide open in the end zone. And so Mahomes, I think, boosting his case for MVP. He did have an interception in the first half. In fact, both of his interceptions this season have come against the Raiders. I guess they can put that as a feather in their cap, plus the win they had. 348 yards and a couple of touchdowns for Patrick Mahomes. Travis Kelce, big day. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, couple of touchdowns himself. Of course, the defense gave up a lot of yards to the Raiders. Derek Carr looked really good. In fact, some of you have said, Derek Carr should have been Monday MVP, would have been Monday MVP until the very last stages of this game.
Again, the Raiders must have a touchdown. They trail by four. They're 75 yards away. 28 seconds to go in the game. Can the Chiefs get any pressure at all on Carr? He floats a pass left side. Intercepted! Dirty Dan Sorensen up the sideline and slides to a step. And the Kansas City Chiefs are going to get a hard-fought victory in the desert as Carr throws only his third interception this season, two against the Chiefs.
Once again, Daniel Sorensen with what is felt like another huge interception for him. He keeps coming up in those big moments. And so they're able to slam the door, but the Chiefs defense certainly susceptible. That run defense gave up a lot of yards to Josh Jacobs. Not quite 100 yards overall as a team, but Jacobs, the bruising runner, found some seams. And so did Nelson Agholor and Darren Waller and Hunter Renfrow. So credit the Raiders. Maybe if they didn't play in the AFC West, things would look different. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Andy Reid not only gets to see his quarterback engineer another game-winning drive, but he gets a shoulder massage from Travis Kelce when it was tense.
Well, listen, I'd take him over everybody, and I'm lucky to have him. So as we are as a football team, as we are as a city, and I know we're all proud of him and the way he goes about his business. So and when you're behind, he can make things happen.
Andy Reid, so proud of Patrick Mahomes, and that relationship is one of the reasons why they're so successful. We know that. This is one of those matches made in heaven in sports. Mahomes doesn't think he's bigger than the moment, doesn't think he's bigger than the team, certainly doesn't think he knows more than his coach. And as for Andy Reid, this has kind of brought out a youthful exuberance, a new energy, similar to what John Harbaugh has said about Lamar Jackson. It's awesome to watch this team operate, but that defense is susceptible. You could say the same thing about the Raiders, actually. You could say the same thing about the Packers, the same thing about the Seahawks. There are some pretty bad defenses out there, some pretty porous defenses. And so while we're talking about MVPs, I kind of go through some of the different options, right? So Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, though the Packers lost on Sunday in overtime. Ben Roethlisberger, a lot of you are pointing to. Yes, Roethlisberger has got steady numbers. The team is 10-0 with his return. His rookie receiver, Chase Claypool, has 10 touchdowns in 10 games, which has not happened before in the Super Bowl era. The difference is, without Mahomes, the Chiefs go nowhere. Without Rodgers, the Packers have no shot. I think it's actually a credit to Mike Tomlin and the Steelers that they can beat you with their defense. Now, the offense is great. I like the balance, especially when they can get some yards from James Conner, when they're working Juju in the slot, when they've got Chase Claypool. Deontay Johnson has had a couple of huge performances lately. There's a reason why they're 10-0 and not just a good team. But we saw what the Steelers could do without Roethlisberger a year ago because Tomlin paid attention to the defense, because he traded for Minkah Fitzpatrick, because he wasn't willing to give up on 2019. And so if you're splitting MVP hairs, to me it comes back to you remove Ben Roethlisberger from the team, they might still be above 500. They would definitely still be challenging for a playoff spot, in my opinion. Without Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs, no shot. But that's okay, because he is awesome. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. We're asking you not just your Monday MVP, which is something we do every week at this time, and I'll retweet that poll now, but we're also asking you, at this point, week 11, who is your NFL MVP? We've had, I would say, a good smattering of responses. Not nearly as myopic or focused on one or two guys as I expected. All right, we're going to do some QB news coming up. We had a couple of guys making their first ever NFL starts. We had the worst news that you'll hear waking up on this Monday. We had the return of Andy Dalton and Alex Smith, ever more comfortable.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
You're the colonel. You're going to command your troops tonight. You understand?
Snap to Dak. Bane, right side of the end zone. Touchdown! It's a touchdown!
Mariota, play fake, looking, floats it downfield. Touchdown! Tight!
Fires for the end zone. Touchdown! And with a terrific job to feed that ball through heavy traffic.
Brees from the shotgun has time. Guns it down the middle, and he's going to score!
Goff stands in. He whips it to the two. Touchdown!
There's a wobbly pass down the middle. It's a backpedaling, falling down chest high, heavily covered touchdown catch.
Oh, baby, what a throw by Stafford!
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
Always, we are obsessed with our quarterbacks, and man, there is a full buffet of QB news on this Monday morning. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. The real black mark of week 11 is likely to be Joe Burrow's season-ending injury. While that hasn't been confirmed, it was something that Burrow himself tweeted right after he was knocked out of the game in the third quarter against Washington. He got sandwiched between a pair of defenders on a pass attempt, and his leg kind of buckled underneath him, and he instantly grabbed his left knee. And then before long, he tweeted, "See you next year. You can't get rid of me that easily." So totally sucks. I felt it like a gut punch. The Bengals rookie quarterback, who's been so good and has broken records, but left on a cart. And of course, all of the Bengals and the Washington football team came over to kind of make sure he was okay or to at least encourage him. He already had nearly 2,500 passing yards, 15 combined touchdowns, just 5 interceptions, and there was a lot of excitement around the Bengals. But unfortunately, it was up to Zach Taylor then to try to get his team refocused. And certainly Ron Rivera could understand the change in the tenor of the game as well.
We need to come out with some emotion. You know, that's an injury right there that to a team leader that can take the wind out of your sails. And we want to try to recap some energy that we had going into halftime. you know, after that moment. And unfortunately, they went down and scored a touchdown, and we had a three and out. So we didn't get that done.
Joe, you know, he's a very talented player. He understands the game. He understands it, you know, better than most people. And, you know, you bring in the backup who doesn't get the snaps, who doesn't, you know what to anticipate for and stuff like that. And defensively, you can take advantage.
Ron Rivera and the Washington football team have obviously been through their own issues at the quarterback position. Pretty incredible to see Alex Smith continue to settle into a more comfortable rhythm. And against the Bengals in the second half, they certainly found a way to win, as you hear Ron Rivera mention. As for Alex specifically, this was his first chance to be part of a win as the starter since he was injured 2 years ago. But initially, his thoughts were for Joe Burrow.
Yeah, I mean, feeling for him. I mean, anytime there's an injury to anybody and you see the cart come out, you're obviously wishing and hoping for the best. You don't know what it is from afar, and certainly as a quarterback. Yeah, a young kid with a really, really bright future that's been playing really well this year.
We'll wait for the confirmation on Burrow on Monday, but again, it was Burrow who put out the tweet, see you next year. As for Alex, he had to wait 2 years for his opportunity to come around again. But going back to November, mid-November of 2018, that was the last time he had a chance to be part of a victory as the quarterback. And so this is yet another milestone in his return that's worth celebrating.
You know, it's one thing to obviously come out and even to get that first playing time and whole another deal, obviously, to play winning football as a starter. And felt like we had one last week get away from us. So amazing to get a win.
Congratulations to Alex Smith. He's still my sentimental favorite to win Comeback Player of the Year, though I understand Ben Roethlisberger has definitely got his nose headed toward that award as well if he keeps it up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. While we're talking about the NFC East and Washington and all four teams, having three wins, welcome back to Andy Dalton, who is part of a Dallas victory against Minnesota. And really, as much as you could point to the Dallas defense being able to contain Dalvin Cook as much as possible, the fact is this was offense versus offense in the late stages. And Andy Dalton leads this touchdown drive in the late in the fourth quarter with about 90 seconds to go, throws the game-winning TD pass to another Dalton, Dalton Schultz.
Great play call by Kellen. You know, our guys, you know, at that point it just comes down to execution, and that's exactly what we did. You know, great play design and got Dalton wide open in the end zone.
As for the Cowboys, first victory in 42 days. And so Dalton returns after his first concussion, returns after a bout with COVID-19, and the Cowboys get a victory. And Mike McCarthy says we can't afford to waste this one. Sticking in the NFC, it's the team at the top, not a team in the East Division, but Taysom Hill making his first career start in place of Drew Brees. And Sean Payton says he picked Taysom because they've seen his body of work over the past 3 years. Most people, what do they see? They see Taysom as a utility guy who's catching passes, who's running, in spot opportunities here or there. Sometimes who's just out there for blocking and for decoy purposes. But they've actually seen him as a quarterback. So they started Taysom Hill instead of Jameis Winston, and they did it against the Atlanta Falcons.
Your first start ever in the NFL, you know, I think he called one formation, flipped around the wrong way. There was one motion, and then, yeah, all of that kind of calmed down, and he got very comfortable with the flow of the game and did a good job. We did a good job up front, I thought, blocking him.
Taysom came out, we really had him under control in that first half, did some really good things. He got off a couple play-action passes. He was able to get his run game going with his legs, and that really got him going. Once he got it going with his run game, he had to sacrifice and stop some people to do those things. He was able to get some completions down the field on play-action passes that we got to make plays on.
18 of 23 for 233 yards. Taysom did have a lost fumble, though not an interception. He also carried the ball 10 times and had a couple of touchdowns mixed in there as well. If you know his story, he was undrafted out of BYU. He's so grateful that the Saints have given him a home and given him an opportunity. He's now 30 years old, and he said this was extremely emotional, his very first NFL start.
If I'm being honest, I didn't fully understand what it took to be a starter in the NFL until I got here, and I had the opportunity to learn from Drew, and man, Drew was with me every step of the way this week as we watched film. He was constantly asking me what I needed and how he could be helpful.
I love that answer. Taysom Hill and Drew Brees have obviously developed a close relationship. And Drew did this last year with Teddy Bridgewater every single week, helping him prep, answering his questions. Even though the offense is a little more tailored to Taysom, Drew Brees knows it inside and out, knows Sean Payton and the weapons they have inside and out. And Drew wants this team to keep winning, which they have. Now 7 consecutive victories. And the top record in the NFC, of course, the lead in the NFC South. Another quarterback in that division making his first NFL start. Get to know the name PJ Walker, at least for now. Matt Rhule, Carolina Panthers head coach, decided not to start Teddy Bridgewater, even though he looked okay and Bridgewater thought he could go with the knee injury. Instead, he turns to a former Temple Owl, a former XFL Roughneck quarterback, but it's the Temple connection that Matt Rhule leaned on. And he allows P.J. Walker to get his first start. And this is amazing. It's part of a shutout against the Lions. But for him to wait and to finally get his opportunity and to take advantage of it, he was chucking the ball. 24 of 34, 258 yards. He had a touchdown. He did have a couple of interceptions. But would you believe it was his mom who told him this would eventually happen?
I didn't actually envision this start. My mom did. About a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, she called me and she was like, man, I had a dream that you was playing with the Panthers. And I was with the Colts still at the time. And I had a dream you was playing for the Panthers. And I'm like, really?
Mom always knows. She always knows what she knows. And you better just listen to your mom. That's the moral of the story. So PJ Walker, welcome to the NFL. Cool day for both Taysom and PJ. And obviously continued success for Alex Smith as he gets more comfortable. Andy Dalton has got to make the Cowboys fans feel a little bit better about some symmetry and some forward progress with the offense. However, we did have one of our rookie quarterbacks getting benched. So not Joe Burrow with the injury. Obviously not Justin Herbert, who was tearing it up with the Chargers against the Jets. That leaves only Tua. At first, it appeared as though it was an injury. Nope, that's not the case. We'll explain coming up next. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Who's your Monday MVP? So your MVP for Week 11. We've got a poll up. And even though it's only week 11, we're kind of bandying about some names for NFL MVP, and I like the lively debate.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Deshaun looks it over. Here's the snap. Watson fakes the gift. Looking. Throwing back of the end zone. Got a man. Touchdown, Houston. Randall Cobb with the catch. 3-yard TD pass for the equalizer. Duke Johnson in the backfield with Deshaun, who takes the snap. 3-man rush. Watson looking, pumping, escaping up the middle. Deshaun going for the end zone, taking people with him across the goal line. Touchdown, Deshaun Watson, and the Texans take the lead. On second and goal, here's Deshaun, back to pass. Watson looking, stepping to the right, throwing to the end zone, caught, touchdown, and there it is. Kiki QT with the TD reception, 6-yard touchdown pass as the Texans add to their lead.
Just standing there on the sideline and watching him perform, he did a tremendous job. He was able to find receivers, put the ball right on them, and then when he had to run, get out of trouble, he was able to get out of trouble and still make plays.
It's a football feeding frenzy. After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Deshaun Watson, a one-man wrecking ball. On the Texans radio network, Mark Vandermeer, the play-by-play voice, and then you hear his interim head coach, Romeo Crennel. Yeah, sometimes all you got to do is stand back and watch Deshaun put on a show. 28 of 37, 344 passing yards and 2 touchdowns. Then another touchdown on the ground with another 36 yards rushing. Now, this game, this performance came at the expense of the Patriots' defense. So Deshaun Watson explained afterwards what he saw in New England.
I just try to make some plays, some things happen. They played a lot of peak coverage and a lot of guys in coverage. So a lot of the things they were trying to take away. Only rushing three, so I just had to make some things, you know, work with my legs.
He was flexing, too. He was giving you the old Superman show after his rushing touchdown, which was dazzling. So this game taking place at NRG Stadium, which is, of course, home to a recent Super Bowl that the Patriots won in overtime against the Falcons. But you know what's weird? They had the roof open. And I think that I read it was first time since 2013, maybe, that they've had the roof open. It's been at least 5 years, but I think I remember 13. So oddly enough, nice weather, I guess. They felt like it was a good time to open up the roof and certainly spurred on Deshaun Watson. As for the Patriots, they fall to 4-6, so they looked to have shown some life. They instead decided to pass in this game instead of run the ball the way that they have. Big blow for them. Rex Burkhead reportedly tore his ACL. That is the fear, and he had been such a versatile back for them. Cam Newton finishes with 365 yards and a score, but ultimately it was the defense that couldn't hold Deshaun Watson at bay.
We just have to go back and watch the film, learn from it, be better from it, and when put back in that situation again, we'll execute better.
A lot of yards through the air in this one. In fact, the two teams combined for better than 800 total yards, and both teams were over 340 passing. So running was optional in this game. Weird, right? Because that's what the Patriots were supposed to be about. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. It's sponsored by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. It's easy. Now, in the AFC East, mentioned the Patriots fall back to 4-6, and they've got a massive, like Mount Everest uphill climb to get back into the playoff picture. And it's not so much because of their record, it's because of the other teams in the AFC that have a head start on them. That includes the Dolphins, though the Dolphins did take a step back. They ran into a Broncos defense that was more than up for the challenge and maybe gave Tua Tagovailoa his first NFL lesson in how difficult it can be to move the football. The Denver defense sacked him six times, and on the sixth sack, Miami was trailing by 10 in the third quarter, and he was pulled out of the game. Now, it looked like he may have tweaked his ankle, but ultimately that's not why he was benched. According to Brian Flores, he said he felt like Tua really was struggling in this game and that Ryan Fitzpatrick gave them a better chance to win. So Fitzpatrick enters the game then in the second half and did move them a couple of times. They managed a field goal. They were driving though late in this one for the game tying touchdown.
Fitzpatrick will send three receivers in a bunch, flank left, single receiver Grant to the right. He's got Savon Ahmed to his right. Denver with a five-man rush, steps in the pocket, throws the ball to the end zone, pass is going to be intercepted by Justin Simmons in the end zone.
Justin Simmons flying through the air with the greatest of ease, just flew right in front of the intended receiver and snagged that ball there. But yeah, Ryan, that's Ryan Fitzpatrick in a nutshell, right? Moves the team in position, has some pretty impressive throws, is able to step in whenever called on, and then sometimes you get interceptions in the end zone. Dave Logan with the call on the Broncos radio network. So Brian Flores has indicated that Tua is still the starter. This was not a permanent change, but obviously a setback or a learning experience for Tua.
When I was in, we couldn't really get things going. And, coach felt like it was the best decision to put Fitz in to try to give us a spark. So when I heard that, I mean, it's really what's best for the team.
So Tua taking it and handling it with grace and maturity and professionalism, which is what we've seen from him his entire career. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. And of course, when I say career, I mean college level Alabama. I know it's not pro game, but the spotlight that is on him and that has been on him since he took over for Jalen Hurts in the SEC championship a few years ago and then was named the starter. This time last year, he had already suffered the hip injury, but of course, Alabama battling through into the college football playoff, and that's kind of where I pivot now. This is such a different college football season, obviously, and we've seen cancellations better than a dozen over the past couple of weekends because not just of positive COVID tests, but the extensive COVID protocols. Well, according to Dabo Swinney, that's not what derailed their game against Florida State. He's pointing to Florida State and its athletic department and saying this was the Seminoles' call. Apparently, Clemson was actually already in town in Tallahassee to be ready for this game, and they felt like they had followed all of the protocols, and yet still Florida State refused to play.
Anytime a guy is positive, that person has been practicing and playing prior to being positive. In fact, we could all test negative on Friday. That doesn't mean someone doesn't turn positive before kickoff on Saturday. And we all have known that. The standard to cancel a game was not met. A guy testing positive on Friday does not cancel a game. I was on every committee call for months since March, and that was never the case. Never once was it said that if a team had a player test positive on a Friday test, that the game would be canceled. The only thing that we talked about in canceling games was not having enough scholarship guys or at least seven offensive linemen. And as Dan said, we offered to test again, play Saturday night, Sunday, Monday, and it was declined. We spent $300,000+ to travel. We set up a Ringling Brothers tent in the took over an entire parking lot to do what we have to do to meet the standards. We had people travel from all over the country to come to the game, to see the game. We met the standard to play, and we should have played. We have mitigated everything all year long, all year. Meetings, practices, meals, housing, how we travel. If the standard to play was zero positive tests, then we would have never had a season. This game was not canceled because of COVID. COVID was just an excuse to cancel the game. And to be honest with you, I don't think it has anything to do with their players. I have no doubt that their players wanted to play and would have played. And same with the coaches. To me, the Florida State administration forfeited the game. And if they want to play Clemson, in my opinion, they need to come to Clemson or they need to pay for all expenses. Other than that, there's no reason for us to play them. We were there, we were ready, and we met the standards. So from my perspective, that's in the rearview mirror.
I didn't even know that this was an option. I didn't even know that a school on game day could decide not to play. And as Dabo goes through all the details and kind of delineates what happens, this was a Florida State decision. And he says, we followed all the protocols. I know what the protocols are. I've been on the conference calls. And there was one positive test on the Tigers roster. And for whatever reason, Florida State did not feel comfortable playing. So we haven't yet heard anything from Florida State except the standard line, which is health of our student athletes, that their first priority is the health of the student athletes. I don't know if you know this, but Dr. Alan Sills of the NFL recently released the results of an extensive study, not just football, but soccer and basketball and hockey. There isn't one known case of the virus being transmitted in the course of competition. A lot of it's casual contact, right? So there hasn't been even one known case of the virus being transmitted in the course of competition. Sometimes locker rooms, obviously, we've seen that happen before, travel for sure, but not in actual competition. And those results are out there on the web if you want to find them. It's Dr. Alan Sills, the NFL's chief medical officer. And so Dabo is clearly fired up and says this is in the rearview mirror for us. We're not going to make up that game at their place. If they want to come here or reimburse us, we spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to try to make sure that we could get this game on. And he points to their guys wanting to play. As well as Florida State, and he's right. The tweets were bouncing back and forth. Trevor Lawrence, others responding to him saying, yeah, we wanted to play too. We wanted to be part of that as well. So interesting development in college football. Again, I didn't realize a school could back out on game day. I'm not sure if there's a penalty for that. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's squeeze in Gene. Gene, I'm at the top of the hour, but you got 60 seconds. Go ahead.
Hello, Amy. I'm glad to hear from you. I love hearing your voice every day. You're very nice to listen to.
Thank you.
What do you think the Steelers' chances of going all the way, winning 16 games are?
Well, I mean, they've got a really good head start, right? So surely they're better than any other team in the league. I feel like the thing that I love about the Steelers is, and this goes back to last year, they're multidimensional. They can beat you a variety of ways. Yes, Ben Roethlisberger is a future Hall of Famer. He's a great quarterback. He's playing extremely well. But obviously, they also have a defense that can keep them in games or win games even when they need to. And we've seen that on display a bunch. They've got the Ravens coming up on Thanksgiving night. The Ravens are desperate, so that's a huge test. It's at Heinz Field, which is great. But then you look at their schedule. It's Washington at home. They go on the road at the Bills, at the Bengals, which is no longer as difficult without Joe Burrow. They do have a game against the Colts the weekend after Christmas, and they finish up on the road at Cleveland. So there's only a couple of games in there where you think that they're going to be highly favored. But again, this team, it's deep, and it's a team that can throw multiple looks at you, that can beat you a variety of ways. And so I do think there's a good chance. But honestly, more important is them having that top seed in the bye, because that's going to be really critical.
I'd like to see them go all the way to the Super Bowl, yeah, frankly.
Yeah, no, I understand. I bet you take a Super Bowl over 16-0, for sure. Thanks, Gene. Good to talk to you in Youngstown, Ohio. My mama's whole side of the family is from that area, so I always appreciate hearing from people in Northeast Ohio. I will not be seeing my mom or my mom's family over Thanksgiving, but for the first time since June, I'm taking the rest of this week off. I have had a few days off here or there, but not 4 days in a row, 5 days in a row, and just an opportunity for me to reset and then spend some time with friends. Looking forward to it. I hope you guys have an awesome Thanksgiving. I'll tweet and Facebook a little bit, but not much. So when we reconvene next Sunday night, there'll be a lot to talk about. Love you guys. Happy holiday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.